Huh. Paper says Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. That's what it says on the front. If you need a paper, hold your hand up. All right. We got a few hands there. All right. Should be a front and a back. All right. Front and the back should be bold, big bold letters, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Leave them up here, Tom. 1, 2, 3, 4 up this way. 5 or 7. All right. Ephesians chapter 2 is where we're at. And we want to, we're not rushing. We're going to go slow. And we're going to honor the Word of God, the words of God. Every word is necessary. Call your attention again to what Brother Bob told us Sunday morning. When he was preaching about the king who took a penknife and cut up the scroll, and the prophet said, "Now we're gonna write every word again, every word, the same words, every word again, the same word. Write the same words again." And that is just a good verse to know that God's word does not change. It's every word again. And I believe he's got one. I believe him to have one word. Okay. Everybody's free to believe what they want to believe, but I believe he's got one word. Yeah. A lot of people believe in Santa Claus. Yeah, you believe what you want. You believe there's a lot of other words, but I believe there's one. We okay? All right, let's pray. We're going to pray for Brother Rick, too, Brother Rick Vance. Father, we come to us now, Lord. You're wonderful and great to us, and we're such a needy people. Lord, when it comes to physical problems, these bodies fall apart, so we need help. Lord, when it comes to mental problems, Lord, we're all messed up. We need help. Lord, when it comes to spiritual problems, Lord, we are bankrupt. We can't do nothing spiritually without the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we're just needy. So we come to you and bring all these things to you, all the sick and afflicted, and then the needs we have to get closer to you. Lord, we need to do some things yourself. We understand we need to move some stones out of the way that we can see the power of God, the miracles of God. Lord, these things that we pile up around us, you cleaned us up. And Lord, we're bad to hoard things that we don't need. And Lord, I pray that we might get shut of some things. And Lord, we might be clean with you. Now, Lord, Brother Rick Vance is having some issues. I don't know what's going on. Lord, he's got more health problems than he ever lets on. And Father, I pray that you'd encourage him, touch him and Beth, and the stress and the worries that they've had with children and parents. And Lord, I pray for his daughter and son-in-law now. Lord, I pray that you'd save them. God, you can do that, and I believe you're going to do it. And I pray that this will be the night that you do it. And Lord, I again touch Rick and Beth and help them. Now, Lord, we need you to clear my mind. Lord, to clear my mind, I can teach as you want me to teach. And then, Lord, as our hearts listen, Lord, help us not just hear with our ears. Lord, help us to hear with our hearts. And Lord, let this word of God change us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. We've been looking at how lost we was and how saved we are. And I don't know if we ever get a handle on that, we might be able to praise him and really praise him for what he's worth to us. Let's start. I'm going to read again. I'm going to read down through verse 18. All right, then we'll get right into the scripture. All right, everybody. All right, Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made one, both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, that's wonderful verses right there, wonderful verses. Now, we go back in now to, we're going to start pick up at verse 8, all right, is where we're going to go back and just do a little bit of review. We hit it a little bit last Wednesday, and we're going to try to see how far we can go here tonight. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, that's a doctrinal fact we know. That it's a Bible truth, it's a Bible fact, it's the teaching of God from the very beginning. It didn't just happen with Paul and the church, but it started with Adam and Eve.
Yes.
All right, it has always been by grace through faith. No one has ever been saved other than by grace through faith. No one will ever be saved any other way other than by grace through faith. That's the way it is. No one has ever been saved by works. No one will ever be saved by works. No one has ever been saved because they were good, because the Bible says there is none good. And no one will ever be saved because they're good, because the Bible says there is none good. So these are things that are always the same. Think about that. So it's for by grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, and we looked at that. Grace, salvation is rooted in God's unmerited favor, not human achievement. And we looked there in 2 Corinthians. I made a mistake here on your paper. It should say 2 Corinthians, verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 9, not 1 Corinthians. But let's look at it there just for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. That's just a good verse to explain grace, just as good as any, because none of that's deserved, and he done it all that we might have something. That's grace. He done it all. We had nothing that we might be something. That's grace. And faith, it's the channel that we are saved through. Everybody understand that? Grace is the method of salvation. Faith is the channel from where it's received. All right, when we receive Christ, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, it says in John chapter 1. But let's look here in Romans chapter 3. Is everybody still running with me now? Yeah. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. All right, said, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Now, we're talking about faith being the channel. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith. Through faith, all right, that's the channel. Through faith, that's the channel. That's the doorway. That's the hallway. That's the lever where you turn the spigot on for the water. It's faith. Everybody understands it. Now, that propitiation through faith, remember what we gave you the definition of propitiation there a few weeks ago. Propitiation is satisfying God's righteous wrath. That's what propitiation is. It's satisfying God's righteous wrath against sin through His sacrificial offering of Himself, making the sinner favorable who was not favorable, but making us favorable, all right, bringing about reconciliation, allowing pardon, forgiveness, and restoration. Now, that's all what that one word means. That's a lot. All right? Trying to get you to understand as faith in what God has done. That's what we're talking about. Is everybody got me there? And then we go on there, looking at back in Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Salvation is not produced by man's willpower. You don't get saved, or I don't get saved when we want to. It's got to be by the work of the Holy Ghost. There's got to be a drawing. There's got to be a moving. Even at creation, back in Genesis chapter 1, when the Holy Spirit brooded, in a sense, over the creation, and God spoke everything into existence. Nothing is made without the Spirit of God, the power of God, the work of God.
Amen. Amen.
Think about that. And salvation is the same. Look in the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 13. Well, and again, I've done this last week. We do it again. Let's look at verse 11. And through 13, He came into His own, speaking of Christ, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So it's not of yourselves, it's not of our own efforts, it's not of our own power, but it's by God. Everybody knows that. And then we looked at the gift of God, back to Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And the gift of God, I've heard, as I said last week, we've heard about the gift is grace. No. No. Well, the gift, He gives us faith. No, that's not what the gift is here. The gift is salvation.
Amen.
And the gift that He gives us is salvation. And He gives it to us by grace, and we receive it through faith. But the gift itself is salvation. Romans 6:23 plainly tells us that the wages of sin is death. So what is sin? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, what is it? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's salvation, eternal life. That's the gift of God. Everybody understand that? And that's what God does. So when we see in verses 1 down through 1 through 5 talking about us being sinners, talking about us being lost, how lost we was and wicked, then it took the working of God to redeem us. It took the working of God to change that. And He done that by grace. And we receive it through faith. And it is the gift of God. And it can't be of works. As we look here at verse 9 now, it says, not of works. There's no amount of good works that can earn salvation. That's foolish. If Christ, or if man could work for it, then Christ died needlessly. Okay? If you do anything other than receive what He's done, then He, whatever He done was needless. It's not Jesus plus you, or Jesus plus me. It's Jesus. It's not grace plus baptism. It's not grace plus church membership. It's not grace plus works. It's not grace plus good deeds. It's grace. It's grace. For by grace you're saved. That's what it says in verse 5. Verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. In verse 8. And then verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, let's look in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. What's the next phrase? Not according to our works. Can you get any plainer than that? But according to His own purpose and what? Grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. See, y'all understand that salvation was not because there was a mistake made in man. Salvation was purposed before man ever was. Salvation is not the result of something. Everybody understand that? Salvation is not the result of a fallen man. Salvation was planned before man ever was made. Think about that. Does everybody follow me? See, people will say, well, man sinned, then God had to figure out a way to save him. No. Now, I like the song, they searched through heaven and found a Savior. I like the song, it's just not a scriptural song. Because they didn't have to search through heaven to find a Savior.
Amen.
All right? That's trying to put man in there with works. That something he had to do something before. No, we already qualified for salvation because we was all born lost. We qualified for salvation. Huh? Because He only saves sinners. He only saves the unrighteous. Think about that. And we all qualify. We still okay? Ephesians chapter 2 now. Now since salvation is a gift and it's not by works, if it was by works, then we would boast about it. Well, wouldn't that be silly? That we could boast about working when pride is the root of all sin. And when you boast, you're prideful. Now, why would God be involved in something that He threw Satan out of heaven for? Does everybody understand that? I mean, because of pride, and Satan said, I will ascend and make my throne bigger than God's throne, and he was chunked out, pitched out of heaven, huh? Then why would He allow mankind to be prideful about what they've done to get saved? I mean, you're talking about an ego problem. For anybody who thinks you're going to heaven by work. Right? Now, since salvation is a gift, it cannot be earned. It can't be purchased. And listen to me. Every religion other than Christianity has works involved to appease their God.
Amen.
And Christianity has us to receive what our God does.
Right.
All other religions have to do something to appease their God. Think about that, but not Christianity. Does everybody understand that tonight? All right. Now, God's salvation destroys all other religions. Now, this is why Jesus is hated by these other religions. Because it belittles them. Think about that. It belittles man. And pride is what we're eat up with. Huh? Does everybody understand that? So that's why Jesus is hated. Now, if he just healed the sick, can I tell you that people will accept Christ as long as you call him a teacher? If you let him just be your teacher, then it's okay. But the minute you make him Savior, now that's where the rub comes in. Everybody understand that? See, if he's just going around healing the sick, then we can handle that.
Right.
If he just teaches good things that we ought to do, we can handle that. But if he's the only Savior, and we got to trust what he's done, then there's where the rub comes in, and we don't like it. Huh? That's why people remain lost. The reason people remain lost now, they don't want to go God's way. Everybody understand that? That's why they resist and reject. That's why they blaspheme. Have you ever heard anybody throw a cussing fit and use Allah? Have you ever done? I mean, I've heard people throw cussing fits, but I never did hear them say, "Allah be damned."
No.
Why is that? Do you ever think about that? The more they'll sure persecute Jesus, they'll sure persecute God. I'm here to tell you tonight, it's Jesus and Him alone. Titus chapter 3. We okay?
Yes.
Titus chapter 3. And I'll just go ahead and tell you that Islam and Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses and Catholics and Shintoism and Hinduism and Buddhism and all these things are all hatched up out of hell.
Yes. That's right.
Everybody understand that? All hatched up out of hell. Now, we all can agree there. But all these other denominations that want to add works is out of hell too.
That's right.
If you add anything, if you add a baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, it's out of hell.
Amen.
If you teach that you can lose your salvation, it's not of God, so it must be out of hell.
Amen. Amen for you.
Huh?
Right.
You can't you can't be both ways.
That's right.
It'll be all right. Can't be both ways. It's either going to have to be truth or not. And what was our quote? Truth is not what you believe. Truth is what God says.
Amen.
Huh? And I'm not being mean. I'm just trying to tell you. Paul said. In fact, I'm just going to read it to you in case somebody thinks that was a too hard a statement. And just turn over your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1.
Yeah.
Galatians chapter 1, we'll read it verse 6. It says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. That didn't say, well, give them the respect they do. No, they don't deserve the respect because they're against God.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
He said, let him be accursed. For it's another gospel.
Right.
And you spit in the face of my Savior. When you say you got to add anything to it, you down my Savior. And I can't stand to let you down my Savior. Let him be accursed.
Paul said, yes, right. Look.
I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you how serious this thing is. Titus 3, verse 5 and 6. Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
It's by His grace. Huh? Romans, drop down to verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
Yeah.
That's what it says. Huh? How about chapter 5, verse 9? Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I mean, that's simple, isn't it? Huh? How about chapter 3, verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? Now, there are people who say, yeah, but I think you can fall from grace. Well, I believe it too. I believe you can fall from grace. Let's look at it. Galatians chapter 5. Everybody listening to me now? I believe you can fall from grace. Everybody listening? Pay close attention. The Bible says in Galatians 5, for we thus, Galatians 5, verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. So let me explain to you how you fall from grace. When you think you're the one that's got your hands in it, you fall from grace. When you think it's your good works are going to save you, you've fallen from the grace of Christ, that you've done a disservice unto Jesus Christ. When you were talking about falling from grace, that ain't losing your salvation. That you're trying to get saved another way.
Amen, preacher.
That's what falling from grace means in the Scripture, just so you'll know. Let's read it again. Galatians 5, let's start at verse 3. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Well, Paul tells the Jews, well, you're circumcised, you're going to be a Jew, then you've got to keep all the law.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to do, keep all of it now. That's what you're going to go by. And Christ has become of no effect to you. Christ means nothing. Everybody look at me tonight. Look at me on live stream and YouTube. If you're trusting anything other than Christ, then Christ is no effect to you.
That's right.
At anything. At reading your Bible, praying, baptism, church membership, doing good deeds, giving money, anything, then Christ is no effect.
Yes. Amen.
And you're fallen from grace.
Yes.
Because by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that is how that scripture, that's what that scripture means. Okay? We okay? Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. But we just read that no one is justified by the law. It's what they think they're justified by. Because we're only justified by faith, the blood of Christ, by His grace. That's all. We're justified by what He's done. Is everybody okay with that? Now, that's what the Bible teaches. Okay? How about Romans chapter 11? Is that all right? Now, I don't know how I can explain it any simpler. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 6. It says, and if by grace, then it's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So, in other words, it's got to be one or the other. It's either going to be grace or works, and he plainly says it's not grace, that it's not works, that it is grace. So, that pretty well sums it up, don't it? It's by grace. All right? Think about this. Now, I think I had it maybe on that other paper, and I want to remind you of this. The glory of God's grace, we don't even understand.
Right.
If you look at the glory of creation, and I mentioned this last week, the week before, the glory of creation. Have you ever just thought about how wonderful creation was? You know, there weren't no stars. And he said, there's a star. Now, it ain't a star that you hold in your hand. It's stars that he holds in his hand.
Yeah.
And there's so many that they're more than the sand. Y'all all been to the beach. There's more stars than there are sands on the seashore.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that's I can't comprehend that.
Right.
I mean, that's marvelous. And the planets. And he spun them, tilted them, gave them a whirl, and they stay in the same place and circle the same time all the time. I mean, is that not a wonderful creation? And then he made earth.
Yeah.
Right? And he separated the water and the land, and he put fish in the ocean. And then he put crawdads in there for the fish to eat.
Right.
And manners for the fish to eat. Right? And then he made hickory trees and oak trees. And then he created a squirrel to eat the nuts off of them. And then he made fields of grass that growed up good and high. And he made cows to eat the grass.
Right.
I mean, ain't that most wonderful? And then he made man. And he, all these animals were made for him. So he made him a dog. Before he ever made him a wife, he made him a dog. Huh? Old Blue. Is that right, Rick? Huh? I mean, he made all... I mean, think about the marvelous things of creation. Right? The fish swim. They don't walk. They all swim. They don't get out of the water and go up a tree. You know what? All the animals can swim, but they don't stay in the water. Everything's so, I mean, it's so Well, it's not even, that's not the word. It's so amazing, complex. You know, some of y'all raise bees. There's sermons on bees and making of the honey and the life of the bee and all the and all that. And the honey never rots. And scientists cannot duplicate what the bee seals the hive with. The science can't even duplicate it exactly. And science can do anything. Now all that's glory of creation. But you know that the glory of grace is greater than the glory of creation? Because God took nothing and made something in creation. But look what He's made for His bride. Drunkards, harlots, dope heads, gamblers, liars, cheaters, blasphemers, the trash and the scum of the world that God's amazing grace come down and took and made clean and pure a bride for the only begotten Son of God as perfect and pure and holy. The glory of grace is so much greater than the glory of creation. Ain't that wonderful? Think about the filth that He made new and cleansed to spend an eternity with. Think about that. That's grace. That's all I'm telling you. That's grace. Can we go on? We got to hurry. Back to Ephesians. I was wanting to get here quicker and I just can't do it. Ephesians 2. Now look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship. Now, we always rush through that and say, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works, and we jump on that works. We're bound and determined to get works in this one. Are you hearing me? But we ain't going there yet. We want to look at this workmanship. For we are His workmanship. Everybody understand that?
Uh-huh.
We're His portrait.
Yeah. Right.
We're His painting.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're His poem. We're His song. Huh? That He has made. He works on us all. He's got us on a canvas that He wants all of us. Now, y'all understand that we're not in this thing separately. We're in this thing corporately. There is one body. Huh? One body. And He's working on you as a part of the one body. And you're His workmanship. He is doing the making.
Yes.
Now, I think I told you here the other week. They was talking about a man coming visiting Michelangelo when he was painting the Last Supper. And I want to refresh your memory there. And he looked at that and said, boy, this is something, man. I ain't never seen nobody paint like this. And he come back a month later, and he said, want to look at it again. He looked and he said, well, you ain't been painting on it. He said, I paint on every day, all night. And he said, well, I don't see no differences. And he looked up, you know, he was looking at all the painting. He said, well, I spent a week on that wrinkle on that man's eye right there. I spent a month on that earlobe of this guy here. And I worked for weeks on the fingertip of that over there. See, that's the way He works on us. We're not made just all at once. We're made new. But He's working on each and every one of us on the very canvas of the purpose that He has for our life. And He works on us until He's done. And when He's done with that part, He moves on and we go be with Him And that's why some are done sooner than others. He just moves on to the next one. And we're His workmanship. You're not trash, and you're not junk, and you're not filth. And God don't look at you as a sinner no more. He looks at you as a saint already seated at the throne of God. That's how He views you on His masterpiece. That's why all heaven is going to have to stand back when the bride comes through the finished workmanship, the finished masterpiece of glory, when it stands and the head is attached to the body completely, and we stand as one with Christ in front of the Father, glorified freely by His marvelous grace. Oh, hear me tonight. There ain't nothing our mind can't even imagine the perfection and the holiness that we will share as we are an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and our minds are like His, and our bodies are like His, and our fellowship is perfect, and we're not going to run in separate houses and live as families, but we live as one body in Christ, as Christ is the head and the Father is there, and we're seated at the throne of God. That's how saved we are tonight.
Amen.
We think we're just going to move from this house up there and live the same way. Listen, I'm not trying to bust your bubble, but it's not husband and wife in heaven. It's not father and mother and children, though we'll know as we're known, and though we'll be there and recognized, but that's not where the interest is. Our interest in this life is in this fellowship with husbands and wives and moms and dads and children and grandchildren, and it makes this life glorious. But then glory, no. The fellowship is with Christ and the Father, and we're likened to Christ, and there's no thought other than pleasing the Father. There's no fleshly desires. There's no mental desires. There's no mental wants. There's no fleshly wants. But it's all in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Because of grace.
Amen.
And there's no separation. Because we're one body. We're one body. Do you understand that? And we're one body in this church. Still.
Yes.
Are you listening to me? And we're one body with Calvary, and we're one body with Emmanuel. We're one body with every born again believer.
Right.
Are you hearing me?
Right.
One body.
Yes,
but our humanism gets in the way to where we got to be appeased in our flesh. And we take away from Christ. We got to be appeased in our flesh on why we want to go to heaven. And we're more interested in seeing others than we are Christ. Because of our humanism. Not our Christianity.
Yes.
You hearing me? For by grace are you saved through faith? That not of yourself is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship.
Amen.
We are His workmanship. Fanny Crosby wrote all them songs, and that's her workmanship. Got all these people write these poems, and that Elliot lady that writes all these poems, and you got all these things, and all that's wonderful, but that's our temporal workmanship. But I'm not a temporal workmanship.
Right.
I am an eternal workmanship.
Amen.
For he works on me, I am an eternal being. And he's working on me eternally. And I am his masterpiece. I am a trophy of the marvelous grace of God. And you're a trophy of the marvelous grace of God. And you're the masterpiece that all of heaven is going to stand and go, wow. As all the angels stand aside. Huh? Are you listening to me? Now, that's Bible. What I've told you tonight's Bible. Well, I don't believe that, well. Truth ain't what you believe. Truth is what God says. Huh? And we're going to have to put Christ back where he was, or he's no effect. Father, thank you for a word. Oh, thank you for your precious book. Can't wait to see you. In Jesus' name, amen.